Third graders, all across here, every third graders, if you could pull out this other insert that has a dart thing on the front top, I wanted to try to help make this scripture real for you today, and so we're going to refer to that. I'm going to talk directly to you as third graders some, and then your brothers and sisters, and then some of the older folks. Let me just say, first of all, your age is a really important age. When I was about third grade, right around your age, I felt really close to God. There may be other times, but that was a special time. And I remember I went out on our farm and I picked up two long sticks of wood and I nailed them together and made a cross and put that in my bedroom. And it became a little altar area for me where I would pray and feel close to God. And I just have a feeling that's when I began to think about becoming a minister. And I just want to ask you all to be open to maybe being a preacher someday. Maybe be like Troy or me or Monique or David. Or a minister in the way that Ben or Julie or Josh or DJ are. Or like all of the other folks here, where you love God and serve God through the work you do. But I just wanted you to be thinking about that, if you'll do that now. Now, the scripture lesson this morning, I want to lead into it. Because this past week, I think on Tuesday, if any of you get my daily scripture emails, you got about 40 that day. There was a glitch. Some of you were kind enough to call and tell me there was a glitch. Like I could control this glitch. And the scary thing was, Earl McDowell and Mark McDowell, who mainly kind of watch over that stuff, were in Thailand for Mark's wedding. And I thought, oh my word, we'll never get this thing stopped. But Josh Fuller came over to the church and unplugged something, and I think they stopped. Now, one of you wrote to me and said, do you really think it was a glitch? Or was God trying to make sure that we really got it? The great commandment of love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And so I said, emailed that person back, and I said, hey, I'm going to quote you on Sunday. And this person wrote me back and said, well, maybe I should explain before you say anything on Sunday. When I opened my email today, I thought, whoa, look at all those DSEs, daily scripture emails. Let me count. 23 must be a glitch. Are they all the same? Maybe Dan got ahead of himself. Maybe he just pushed too many buttons. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. She didn't say that. Yep, they're all the same. He just pushed too many buttons. I can just read the one. So I read it and then started going through my other emails when it hit me. I had just glossed through the entire message. I hardly gave it a thought. What a Pharisee moment I was having. Here's what I want you to hear. I was more struck by the delivery and the glitch than the greatest teaching ever given from the greatest teacher ever to walk the earth. Let me read that again. I was more struck by the delivery than the greatest teaching ever given from the greatest teacher ever to walk the earth. No wonder I needed the greatest commandment sent to me 23 times. What other glitches are there that are distracting me from really hearing his message and keeping me from living life, the best life possible? Actually, you can be really grateful, glad that this glitch didn't happen 2 weeks out, where probably the text is going to be, woe to you hypocrites. You would get paranoid by then, wouldn't you? So with that in mind, let's read the scripture for today. Those of you who are new today, we've been working through the Gospel of Matthew all year long. And now we're at chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together to give it a try for themselves. And one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." If you want to find the bullseye place in the scripture, the one central target area, Jesus says, it's these two commandments. Of all the 1,000 pages in your Bibles, third graders, how many pages in that Bible you have? Can somebody tell me real quick? What's the last page number? How many? 600? 1,612. Of all the 1,612 pages, the bullseye, the target, is this one here, Matthew 22. Jesus says it's all summed up right there. That's the target of the 66 books. Now let's look at it a little more. First of all, we learned something about Jesus. Jesus knew the Bible. Jesus knew the Hebrew Bible. When somebody asked him what's the greatest commandment, he didn't just think it up. He was quoting the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible. He was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and following. It's called the Shema, for the Hebrew word for hear. First thing every devoted Jewish person would say when they get up in the morning, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And you ought to teach those to your children and put them on the doorposts of your house and on your eyes so you can remind them, be reminded of them. And then the second command, to love neighbor as yourself, is a quotation from the book of Leviticus. Most of you don't spend a lot of time in the book of Leviticus, but he says that's the second one where there's guidance about an email. I mean, guidance about an email. See? Well, at least you're listening. I don't know if you're getting anything, but you're listening. Actually, part of the reason we send those emails out early in the morning and I get up at 4 o'clock so I can send those out. Just kidding. Part of it is the same idea. Every Jewish devoted person would say these the Shema every morning. And some of you tell me, before you get out of bed, you open your phone and you get the scripture and you read it. So Leviticus 19:18, love your neighbor as yourself. How much better the world would be if we each began our day with that. Now, a couple of you wrote me some emails and asked me some questions about this text. I want that to kind of be the thrust of this sermon today. One of you said, I'm really grateful for the district DSEs, and it's finally sinking in, this message of love. I was driving the other day listening to talk radio, and I was hearing what felt to me like a lot of hatred, a lot of anger, and I was getting more and more tight, upset, clenched, and I turned to another station. I heard Paul McCartney's song, You'd Think That People Would Have Had Enough of Silly Love Songs, and my mood began to ease. But my question for the sermon is, how do people continue to love each other while they are in disagreement and are at serious philosophical odds? Does that mean to give up the argument? That would seem like giving up on an important cause. Well, many of your marriages are like this, aren't they? You're very different viewpoints. How do you figure it out? Well, I want to suggest five things for you. How do you continue to get along with people when you have very serious disagreements without capitulating? So here's five suggestions. Number one, first, commit to each other that love comes first and foremost, and your love will form a hedge around your relationship, and that no matter how different your views are, your friendship and your love and your relationship are more important than your disagreements. That seems minor, but it's huge. Secondly, within that hedge of protection, you're free to disagree and argue respectfully and listen carefully. Listen with genuineness, mutual respect, and love. But you're committed to the hedge of protection, the wall of protection around you. Thirdly, it seems to me it begins at home. Families' homes need to be a safe place. A clearly stated hedge of protection that we love each other here It's safe here to express your views. You can disagree with me as the parent. You won't get your way, but you can disagree with me. Or however you phrase that. But you want to be respectful. That's safe. Fourthly, the church ought to be a safe place where we could share authentically our differing views. I'm grateful, this may surprise you, I'm grateful that I see every day on the back of bumper stickers in cars in our parking lots, both those supportive of Democrats and Republicans. I'm grateful for that. Probably you can't both be right, but you both can be wrong, and you ought to approach it humbly that you could both be wrong. I'm grateful, not so much because they reflect a diverse church family, though I'm grateful for that. I think that's really important. But here, because it means we have determined to love others with whom we disagree. That's really important. That hedge of protection around it is more important than how we might see things differently. And then finally, have a sense of perspective. At the end of the day, God is in charge. And these various moods and ideas and philosophies come and go. I'll tell you an embarrassing story about my past. As I've told you before, I was raised in a very religious, devoted home. My father was very devout, never expressive, but always took us to Sunday school, always took us to church. It was clear that Dad was devout. We didn't, in our home, there was no drinking, there was no smoking, there was no swearing. And we didn't chew or go with the girls that do, all that sort of deal. We just didn't do that stuff. That was the deal in our home. Well, my oldest brother went through a rebellious stage and went off to Bowling Green State University in Ohio. I think even in the later part of his high school, he started smoking. And I remember, I can see it like it was yesterday, came home after the first semester of Bowling Green. Backed the car up near the house, opened the trunk, took out some stuff, and on the bottom of the trunk were about 40 copies of Playboy magazine. I about passed out. I got Dad aside later, and I said, Dad, you've got to kick him out of the family. It didn't seem funny at the time. I was dead serious. I was so... Well, you fill in the blank, but I'm a little embarrassed about it now. Thankfully, Dad didn't pay any attention to me. I mean, it was hurtful to Dad because his oldest son, was going against a lot of his... But Dad loved all of us. A few years later, my oldest brother married a wonderful, very deeply committed Christian woman, a Dunkard up in the Midwest. They're Mennonite sorts of people. And similar to Amish, although not quite that extreme. And she prayed for him. And the walk to Emmaus was becoming a big thing in that part of the country. And she wanted him in the worst way to go, the walk to Emmaus. And she couldn't go unless he went, and he would not go. He would go to church. But one winter evening, he was out driving and slid off the road into a snowbank. And a guy from town came by and had his truck and chain and pulled him out. And my brother said, what can I do to pay you back? How much can I give you? He said, nothing. Oh, no, I want to give you something. No. Then he said, I'll tell you what you could do. You can go on the walk to Emmaus, if you would. My brother was sort of caught. He went on the walk to Emmaus. It changed his life. Changed his life. When then he and his wife went on it, they became leaders. When Jan and I, on our first year here, we went on the walk to Emmaus. There's a special thing, one of the nights, and he and his wife flew down to be there for that night from Ohio. 1 week later, when Jan went on it, he and his wife flew down to be there. They've gotten involved in Kairos, the prison expression of the walk to Emmaus. I'm so grateful my dad didn't do the stupid thing I was going to suggest he do. But that same spirit of loving others over prevailing against their differing views ought to be a part of who you and I are. you and I are. You never know what the Holy Spirit's going to do. I believe this. It's easier for the Holy Spirit to work a change in someone if those engaged with them are pressing their argument in the spirit of love. So press your argument, but do it in the spirit of love. I remember hearing once about a wife whose daily prayer was, God, you love my husband while I change him. Oh, some of you tried that, huh? And God said one day, no, you love him while I change both of you. That's a long answer to this good question. Build a hedge, set the rules, mutual respect, engage with love, and press your argument. At the end of the day, trust God. This presumes a possibility of mutual respect. I think there are those occasions where you just can't talk to somebody. They're just not willing to listen or be a part of a reasonable discussion. And the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. Don't engage in a fool. It will only lead to abuse. So make your own judgments on that. But why did Jesus say all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? Another one of you emailed me a really good question. How can busy people doing their full-time, more than full-time jobs, how can they implement the great commandment simultaneously with daily living? It's a great question. I bet you struggle with that. Brother Lawrence, this person said, with his practice of the presence, was always mindful of God and everything he did, but does one need to become a monk or a nun? I hope not. Short of that, what demands does the great commandment make on our everyday life? So let me suggest four or five things here. How can we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and our neighbor as ourselves, and still go about our daily life? Let me give you five things. Number one, begin each day by receiving God's love. Don't miss that. Begin each day by receiving God's love. In one of John's letters, I think it's the third one, he says, we love because God first loved us. We're not in the trying business, we're in the overflowing business. We don't try harder to love God, we receive God's love and let it overflow out of our lives. That will save you a great deal of struggle. Fill my cup, Lord, first thing each day. Secondly, love God back. Say words of love and appreciation to God. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. I think God loves to hear that and it's good for you. Thirdly, ask God to help you each day to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Ask God to help you. Fourth, remember, loving your family and loving your neighbor is a great way of loving God. Loving your family, loving your neighbor is one way of loving God. Don't underestimate that. Doing your job well is a way of loving God. Let Tim Tebow show the way. You know I was going to work him in here somehow, didn't you? Whether or not you're a Florida fan, you probably could be a Tim Tebow fan. Certainly he loves God with all his heart, mind, and soul. And that probably affects how he plays the game. Lowers the shoulder, yells at the guys in the huddle, and it fills his life. I have the privilege every now and then of doing a funeral. I say a privilege, a sacred honor. This past week, we had Bob, I'm going to talk about Rita right now, Rita Fullington's funeral. Rita and Bob have been members of this church for a long time. Many of you probably didn't know Rita. When Bob came to see me, he said, I think we ought to have the funeral in the chapel. I said, it seats 125. He said, I think that'll be fine. They're humble people. Later, he called me and said, you know, I think maybe we ought to move to the worship center. There are well over about 300 people here. She quietly developed a program to save lives out at the Santa Fe College. Cardiovascular tech program. Thousands of graduates, model company, model program around the country, people call her. She has what Jim Collins calls in his book, Good to Great, those distinguishing qualities of a level 5 leader, good humility and passion, humility and an iron will. But the word that came to me, and this is the word I think for you out there who aren't a monk or a nun, what you need is a sense of balance. That's the word for Rita, a balance. She balanced her humility with a drivenness. She balanced her devotion to her job with a love for her family. Her devotion to her job with a love for friends. She balanced sort of a human emotional piece with a sense of logic. And she did it so well. So I would say balance is a great word for all of you and for me. Now, third graders and all of you, if you take this sheet, look at this with me, and hopefully parents, you'll spend some time with them at home. The greatest commandment's the center of the mark. You see the darts. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Your neighbor as yourself. So to love God with all your heart is to love as Jesus loves. Love what Jesus loves. And love whom Jesus loves. With all your soul. Prayer is God's way to tune your soul. Pray daily the Lord's Prayer. Would you turn it over on the other side? Some of you remember this in February when I did this. I'd forgotten I'd done this, and Bob Wright showed me this. He keeps it in his wallet. I encourage you to keep it. I won't go through the whole thing, but this is a breakdown of the Lord's Prayer. First, the tender greeting, Our Father. Speak tenderly to God. Secondly, acknowledge God's majesty and all surrounding presence. Thirdly, expression of respect and honor. Hallowed be thy name. May I honor your name today. A commitment to God's will. Trust-filled expression of need. That'll be the last one I'll mention. But there's where when I pray the prayer, I pray for Jan, that God would provide for her that day, the specific needs for that day, for our children and grandchildren and for you and the church. I encourage you to take this and use this, so that God can help you love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that sometimes Jesus just nails it right on target. And he nailed the whole deal right here with loving you and loving others. And we sometimes often resist that, but bear these things in our hearts and souls and minds, that we might be more loving of you and others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.